Good morning. Our first reading this morning is Psalm chapter 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is nigh, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Our second reading this morning is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness.
Thank you, Joel. Let us pray. Ever-present God, who is at the side of every creature in creation, renew our lives so that we may discern and do your will, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I began reading and meditating on today's scripture, my mind kept coming back to the world we live in today, a world filled with news commentary that is no longer broadcast only in the morning or at 5 and 11, as well as the ability for people to vent their opinions and feelings on social media 24/7. We have so much chatter about the world we live in, which can sometimes cause frustration. I see it all the time on my social media feed, people spreading hate because they do not agree with a top news story or use memes or songs as political propaganda. And when it comes to politics as a whole, there is always something for people to lash out about. It does not matter whose party is in office. The opposing party is usually up in arms about something. It has become more of an us versus them world. It is a polarized world, and it usually stems from people sitting on opposite sides of an issue, something related to social justice, politics, religion, or the idea that we need to keep up with one another in material possessions or social status. So, how do we live as Christians in this highly public, polarized world? I say highly public because polarity in the world is nothing new. The world was built on polarity, or opposites, that tend to define one another: happy, sad, rich, poor, good, evil, love, hate. Would we know the meanings of these words if they were never brought into comparison with one another? But these days, the polarity I am talking about is something we hear more about or experience it ourselves because of the digital age we live in. But the Apostle Paul was no stranger to polarity. He had to deal with conflict as a follower of Jesus. Many of his epistle letters were written because he was dealing with some church community conflict in a community he helped build. But his letter to the Romans was different, for he had not yet traveled to Rome, and did not build those church communities. This letter is also different because it is for every community to learn what a Christian life is and how we can best achieve living it. So in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul took the time to explain the Gospels and his own theology. This is important because Christian living cannot be separated from our understanding of the Gospel. And Paul never preached the Gospel without speaking of Christian living. Now, Paul could have also written this letter to speak to some of the tensions between Christian Gentiles and the Christian Jews in Rome at the time. But for whomever Paul was writing it to, back then or today, he explains how to live life in Christ-filled ways. He begins by giving us a charge in verse 1 when he states, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship." But what does this mean? It means that we are to offer ourselves to serve God in the many ways he leads us to, which is our spiritual worship. Now, this idea was new for early Christians because sacrifices at that point in time had been for redemption by the death of an animal, most often a sacrificial lamb. So offering ourselves alive and serving the Lord in body, mind, and spirit is a dedication to God like no other. And one of the ways we serve the Lord is through a grateful heart for the mercies and grace God has given us. Being a living sacrifice is not about what we have, it is about who we are. And it is not a passive activity, it is an active one. But we are not only to dedicate our lives, body, mind, and spirit to God. Paul tells us to not be afraid and not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is God's will. By serving and renewing our minds, our transformation is what is good and acceptable and perfect to God. But our service is not just about the good works we perform. It is also about how those works transform us, how we think about things, because Christian living begins in the mind. I recently listened to a sermon by a pastor named Daniel Foucault of Crossroads Community Church in Vancouver, Washington, where he stated, "To be spiritually transformed, you need to ask yourself, are you engaged? Why do you come to church on Sunday morning? Are you here to apply worship to your life, or are you just going through the motions?" This made me think about how it is not just about God working through us, but God working in us. I think sometimes we get so focused on the outward mission that we forget the inward mission, individually and communally. I really liked what Pastor Daniel said next, which was, "Every day we need to choose if we will conform or transform, because every day we are shaped by something." Think about that for a moment. Every day we are shaped by something. How powerful is it to begin to think about what is shaping you today? What is going to shape you tomorrow? I think sometimes we are conforming by living with the influences of the world around us, like consumerism, 24/7 news, social media, or social status, just to name a few. What do they influence us to do or think? Are they in alignment with what we believe as Christ followers? And if we stop asking ourselves these questions every day, we run the risk of conforming to the world around us. For example, ever see a social media post that really made you mad? And you got caught up in a conflict with the poster? Did you conform or were you transformed? I know I have been guilty of this on occasion, especially with some of my Christian friends who over the years have started posting angry and hateful things which then make me angry too. Do I engage or not engage in this frame of mind? I have found that when we get caught up in these moments, we may not be thinking about our words or actions and how they can affect others and ourselves. But by thinking and pausing before we speak or post, this can be a way to be transformed because we are thinking inward and outward. Outwardly in how what we might say affects others, and inwardly because we are wondering if it is really a good idea for us to respond at all. It is so important that our body, mind, and spirit be aligned that I want to share a quote with you from The Art of Living by Thich Nhat Hanh. If our mind is not with our body, we cannot say that we are fully present. We cannot say we are truly alive. If we are not living sacrifices, renewing our mind in spiritual worship, how can we be present in Christian life? How would we know if we are conforming or being transformed? Now, what Paul says next helps for living in a polarized world. Paul states in verse 3 how we are to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. Not one person is better than another, no idea or opinion, and we need to pay attention to when we start thinking this way and pull ourselves back, asking ourselves, are we conforming or transforming? On social media, it could be as simple as deciding it is better to not engage, or if you do engage, to remain respectful of the other person's beliefs and opinions. Have a conversation rather than a heated argument where both parties feel attacked. Or better yet, take this conversation offline. Have a personal conversation that is calm and respectful of one another. When we no longer think that our opinions or ideas are better than someone else's, we are living exactly what Paul says. And it is important because we are all meant to live in community with one another. And the church community is a community of Christ, often called one body, and we all have different functions within the community, just as the different parts of our physical bodies have different functions. This calls for a great amount of diversity. Paul also says that we are not just members of the community, but we are members one to each other. So we belong to Christ, and we belong to each other. We live in a community with each other, but we are to use our different functions and diversity to be transformed as we serve God and one another. Paul tells us that our functions are grace-given gifts, and there are 7 of them in no particular order: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, and the compassionate in cheerfulness. Now, prophecy is not the foretelling of the future, but an ability to speak the truth, God's truth. And ministry is the work of service to each other, like the deacons in this church. In one of Tim Keller's sermons, he says that we are all born with 2 of these gifts, but I think we are all born with many of these gifts, and that our life experiences, our being a living sacrifice, is what makes them grow. And that at different times in our lives, these gifts may change or be added to. These grace-given gifts are what people consider strengths. Now, the leadership here at First Press has recently embarked on a journey to strengthen our church community by talking about our strengths and how we use them to serve God and one another. In part, I think because we have gotten really good at serving God and the outer community, but at times are disconnected from serving one another. For living in a fully connected community that strengthens our love for each other. We need to ask, are we conforming or transforming right here at home in the community that means the most to us. During this time, we were asked to express why we are in leadership. How are we engaging? How do we support one another? This brought me back to some of my first classes in seminary, where we were asked, why are you here? Where do you see yourself in ministry? And what shaped you to get here? I spent an entire semester just thinking and writing about these things. So now, I want to ask you to think about these things. Why are you here? Are you engaging in this community of Christ? How do you use your gifts to serve God and each other? Not too long ago, this church community had a slogan. It's written on the floor in Fellowship Hall. First Press Changing Lives. Whose lives were we changing? The inner or the outer? I hope the answer is both. But if the community were to be asked this question, we would probably get responses like the soup kitchen, Oasis, the Caldwell Food Pantry, or the African Dream Academy, the outer community. But how do we change your life? How are you transformed? And how do we help transform each other? We all need to live, to love one another and stop living in polarity. Love your neighbors. Love the difficult people in our lives. And love those we disagree with. As we know Christ, grow in his love, and go where he leads, in that love, ask yourself every day, are you conforming or transforming? And how can we better love and serve God and one another? Amen.